Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti joins us. Karen, good morning. Let's talk first about Rudy Giuliani, who has to turn over valuable property to the two election workers in Georgia who won a defamation suit against him. Can't he declare bankruptcy and get out of this?
Well, he might have been able to do it if he did it correctly. He did file for bankruptcy, and because he wasn't properly disclosing all of his assets and all of his business interests, the judge said, I'm going to dismiss the bankruptcy. You don't get the right to declare bankruptcy if you're not following the rules. Now, why he didn't do that is beyond me, because apparently he has a lot of assets, upwards of $50 million, they say. So the judge basically threw out his bankruptcy, and now these women who have this huge judgment that's garnering interest have a receiver in place, meaning they're going to take in all of these properties and rings and Mercedes-Benz and valuables and sell them and to satisfy this judgment.
Yeah, also his Upper East Side apartment, which is worth a lot. The deadline for Rudy Giuliani to do this is in 7 days. Can he appeal and delay it?
Well, he's already appealed it, and the judge refused to stay anything. So I don't know what the basis of the appeal is. In fact, Rudy Giuliani didn't really participate in the trial. He acknowledged that what he said about these two women was false. And so the only issue in the case was damages. And I don't really know what the basis of, you know, obviously he's going to claim the judgment is excessive. But given the fact that all of this was publicized so greatly, and these women were threatened with their lives, if you read about it, it's really appalling. And I just don't see that he's got a right to appeal. But again, if the appeal is successful, then this goes all over again, and the properties go back. So it's a big mess, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Here in Chicago, national civil rights groups are calling on Mayor Johnson to fire Chicago police officers with ties to the Oath Keepers. Is this a First Amendment question here?
It is, because we all have a right to assemble, meaning join groups that we believe in, and we have a right to speak freely. But what's interesting is, even though police officers do have First Amendment rights, those rights can be tempered. And it makes sense, because, you know, you want the police officers to have respect in the community, want the community to think that they're acting fairly when they're arresting people. And, you know, just even among the police officers themselves, you want harmony, because it's such a hard job. And the truth of the matter is, if you have a police officer who is maybe making racist comments or joining racist groups or white supremacy groups, that's the first question they're going to be asked by a defense lawyer. You arrested a black man, but you're a member of the Oath Keepers. So it's the law is very clear that the government can really rein in people who are associated with these groups. I think, though, Bob, in this case, the investigation found that the police officers who were associated with the Oath Keepers were not really active. They were just members, and they were not, espousing racial issues. So they were maintained and kept on the force.
So if you're posting on social media, would that be an issue here?
That would also be an issue if it crossed that line, if it impacted the ability of the police officer to do his or her job. And again, that's a real sliding scale. I think that's a real subjective thing. So if you're saying, I'm a member of the Oath Keepers, you know, is that going to impact that police officer from going out and being perceived by the community as a fair person? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, in this case, we're talking about the city of Chicago. What if you work for a private employer?
A private employer would have much more reign in doing that. I can clearly say you can't belong to these groups. They can clearly say you cannot be saying these things on social media, because the First Amendment, as we've learned here, does not apply to private entities. So a private employer can certainly tell people not to talk politics or not to say racial slurs, and it's just a whole different world.
Another First Amendment case is the one in Louisiana. A federal court is weighing whether that state can require schools to display the Ten Commandments. Which way do you think this case will go?
It should be stricken down. And the reason I say that is 45 years ago, there was a case right on point from Kentucky where it was the same exact thing. Kentucky mandated that every classroom have the Ten Commandments posted. And the Supreme Court, in a very terse decision, said, no, you can't do that. That's religion. You can't put religion in a public school, and it violates the First Amendment. And there was really nothing else to be said about it for all these years. But now this law was signed into place, and the other states are following lockstep and also passing laws like this. So the question is, is the Supreme Court going to follow its precedent from 45 years ago? And the problem is, in my view, is that, you know, we have seen the Supreme Court switch their views on things that have been long established. Again, in my view, just given all of the jurisprudence, as they say, which is all the cases that have come down over the years, it should be stricken down because it is a violation of separation of church and state. But who knows what the Supreme Court we have right now.
We'll see. And finally, the case of Sean Diddy Combs. Let's see, what is it now? 24 lawsuits pending. But he's not being prosecuted criminally at this point, is he?
Not for those. I mean, obviously, he has that racketeering case that's pending against him that's very, very serious in New York, and he's incarcerated and was denied bail for that. But now these other women and men are coming forward, and some of them are as young as 9 years old, who say that they, too, were abused in different ways by P. Diddy and his people. And what's interesting here is sometimes these civil suits will spawn a criminal investigation in a particular state, and there might be additional charges. We saw that with R. Kelly, as you remember. He was charged in Chicago and state and federal court. He was charged in New York and then Minnesota when all these allegations started to arise. So I think the civil courts are good because they bring these things to light, and it interests the prosecutors in conducting these investigations to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, it sounds like additional criminal charges will be coming. Karen Cunty, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Bob.